Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. You know, with so many matters confronting us in life, if we're not careful, we can lose sight of our eventual goal, and we can slip loose from the declaration of God's truth that anchor the soul, and we can lose sight of what really matters. We need to refresh our minds and keep informing ourselves and those not yet in Christ of the basic, fundamental, first principle, and elementary points of the doctrine of Christ. Friend, it is important that we be in the Lord's church, that body that He has promised to save. One church is not just as good as another, nor are we allowed to choose the church of our choice like some people tell us to do. We are urged to choose the church of God's choice. In Psalm 127 in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." No church is the right church unless it was built by the right builder. The very existence of a religious body is evidence that it was founded by someone and upon some foundation. There are hundreds of churches today, are there not? And all of them had a beginning. And all of them were started by someone. The right builder of the church that God approves, however, is Jesus Christ. Christ did not build hundreds of churches, each contradicting the other, different one from the other, teaching things that He never taught, nor things that He ever authorized to be taught. Oh, it's important to be in the church that Christ built. Now in Matthew 16, in verse 18, Jesus promised to build His church. The church belongs to Christ. He's the founder of it. That's the reason it's called the Church of Christ. If a church was founded by, say, Henry VIII, or John Wesley, or Joseph Smith, or Martin Luther, or some other person, that's not the church that Jesus built. Now, this fact eliminates denominations from being the Lord's church because Jesus never built a denomination, and most of them acknowledge someone else as their founder anyway. In Matthew 16 and verse 19, Jesus gave authority to the Apostle Peter and later to all of the apostles, giving them the keys to the kingdom. Now, nobody else ever could assume such an authority as Jesus had said He was going to build a church and to give the apostles that authority over His kingdom. Nobody else has the right to instruct concerning the Lord's church except those who teach that are authorized by the Holy Spirit to teach. Those who would preach truth have no right to teach anything other than what Jesus authorized and what the apostles taught. Christ alone possesses authority as was given Him by the Father in Matthew 28. He alone had the right to build the church, and only that which He built is approved by God. Now, the church was established after John the Baptist had died. The church was not established by John the Baptist. You know the term Baptist that many use? That's a term denoting what John did. It means John the Immerser. That term is never used to define a church in the New Testament. Now, while some say the church was established during the life of John, Matthew 14 tells how John was beheaded by Herod, and it was two chapters later in Matthew 16 that Jesus was still talking about building His church in the future. So John was dead before the church ever became a reality. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, how could that be? His complimentary words of John the Baptist shows us that John was never in the kingdom, because John was dead before the kingdom, which is the church, was established on the day of Pentecost. Now, even the gates of Hades could not prevent the establishment of the Lord's church, Matthew 16 and verse 18. Nor shall Satan be victorious over the Lord's church, friend. The Lord's church, his kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. Those who are faithful citizens therein shall never be destroyed, but shall live eternally with God. Even the death of Jesus Christ did not prevent the establishment of his church, nor can all the power of Satan drive it from existence. But please notice what Jesus said when speaking of religions that are founded by the traditions of men. In Matthew 15, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And again he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." So this means that churches that are built by someone other than Christ have not the hope of an eternal life, those that are founded upon the truth. Now this is a blessing that belongs to those in the church that Christ built. So regardless of all of our prejudices and what previous learning and misunderstanding we may have had, that is the truth. We must live and be judged according to this truth. But does not this truth motivate us? Doesn't it provoke us to want to be sure we are in that church that Christ built? Now, how do you consider this matter? If this is important to you, it should be. It has to do with your life here. It has to do with your eternity. Not only is Jesus the builder of the church, he's also the foundation upon which it is built. No builder institution can be stronger than its foundation. The church that claims to be the church of the Bible must have the foundation that the Bible says it must have. In Matthew 16, it tells the church is built upon a great truth, that truth that Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ promised to build it, and he identified the foundation upon which it stands. Now, there are varying views among men as to what was the rock that Jesus said the church would be founded and built. Some have said that the church was built upon Peter. But friend, you can take Peter away and the church remains. But you take away the fact that Christ is the Son of God, what do you have left? You don't have anything left. The truth is, the rock is the truth that Peter confessed concerning the identity of Jesus as God's Son. And needless to say, you remove that fact, there's nothing else about the church or Christianity or anything that can stand. Nothing remains, because all authority would be destroyed if Christ is not the Son of God. Now, there are several reasons why we can be sure that the rock is Peter's confession. The word translated Peter, it's a different word than that which is translated rock. Peter is from the word Petros, while rock is from the word Petra. Now, though they sound similar, they're not the same at all. Furthermore, the first word is of masculine gender. The second is of feminine gender. And they're of different meaning. The first means a mere pebble or a mere stone, while the second means a solid, massive ledge of rock. One was small enough to be tossed about, while the other was as a granite mountain. Surely words of such difference would not refer to the same thing in the same sentence. The Lord had given Simon the name Peter, or Cephas, as is mentioned in Hebrews. It means a stone. Rather than declaring Peter as the rock upon which the church is built, Christ drew a sharp contrast, a distinction between Peter and the rock upon which the church is built. Now, such a conclusion is inescapable in light of 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:20 speaks of the foundation of the apostles, but that has reference to what the apostles preached concerning Christ. Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation." In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus applied that prophecy to himself. Peter did not apply that prophecy to himself, but he applied it to Christ in Acts chapter 4. Peter knew what the foundation of the church is. We wonder why people don't grasp it today. We're not made to wonder why the enemies of the church would constantly strike against the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. When one does not wish to subject himself to the Lord Jesus, he tries to destroy the authority of the Lord Jesus. Christ is the Son of God means that he has authority. Now, when one does not want to serve God and live by Christ, he wants to live his own way, do his own thing, he must satisfy himself with some excuse for not doing so. When one seeks to destroy the church and that for which the church stands, he must uproot, if he can, the foundation that Jesus is the Christ. Now, many have this desire, and this explains the reason for the existence of atheism and skepticism and modernism and humanism, existentialism and other isms. But this is why liberal organizations like the National Council of Churches and liberal seminaries and liberal colleges seek to undermine the deity of Jesus Christ. You see, friend, there are those who are simply not content to be guided by the Word of God. They seek their own way, and their own way is their preference to God's way. Some way or another, they've convinced themselves that they know better than their Creator and Sustainer and Judge as to what is true and what is false. But the truth regarding Christ, he is the foundation of the church. He is the builder of the church, and that truth remains, and people will deny it, people may repudiate it, people may not believe it, but that doesn't change it in the least. It's still just exactly like that. The legendary anvil has withstood the battering of many hammers, but the truth stands against all its foes, and so it shall ever be. It's important that we be a part of this church that Jesus built, because he said in Ephesians chapter 5, that's what he's going to save. Christ came to save the world, but the world will not receive him. But if one wants to be saved, he must be in that relationship with God where salvation is. Salvation is in Christ. And the church is the body of Christ. And it's when we believe the gospel and obey the gospel in repentance, confession of our faith, and baptism into Christ, we are also, 1 Corinthians 12, baptized into that body of which Jesus Christ is the builder, and that body and that institution of which he is the foundation. Friend, we would encourage you to submit yourself to the doctrine of our Lord Jesus as is found in Scripture, that your soul might be saved and heaven might be your eternal home. Is not that your desire? This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.